Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since you happen to fire sale, bro, just send them my way. Whatever.
You
said you're done with them. Just get rid of them all then.
Any shoe that I have that's worth anything, you already have.
Oh, I don't know about that. Let's relax. White off-whites.
That's the one.
And then you got, what'd you wear to Kyle's wedding?
Well, those are Lowe's. I'm not giving up Lowe's.
Well, I'm just saying.
Those are low tops. Don't do that.
I don't have
those
that.
Those are low tops. Those are low tops.
I don't
tops.
Have that.
No, high tops. I got a series of one. I got some Travis's you could have. I'm just tired of wearing them. They hurt.
I don't have no
Travis. Scott's. Yes, you
look,
do have Travis Scott's.
High tops. And when I'm trying to help, before you get rid of everything.
Where is Bonte?
Get you those move soles. I'm telling you, bro.
So you're telling me move soles are going to make these uncomfortable-ass high tops more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I think this is crap.
Bonte, the streaming guest, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I sent the link though.
Yeah, he might be. I'll check with him.
Well, he might be signing autographs. He could be talking to Steph Curry right now. He could be trying to get a Draymond Green trade done. He could be on the phone with Joe Lacob, talk about blow the whole thing up. Talk about go make a trade that mortgages our future. He could be on the phone with Joe Lacob right now, going, "Don't listen to Draymond. If anything else, don't listen
He's
to Draymond."
He's connected like that. He's connected. Yeah, man. But I'm taking the Old Sac Riverfront over the Riverwalk.
Never been to the Riverwalk.
I know.
Okay.
But they ain't got no Tower Bridge in the background.
It's got to be better than Cleveland, though.
They ain't got no bridge.
That's not necessary.
What? It's a what?
It's not necessary. You've never been to Cleveland either.
Yeah, there's a point. Reason.
Now, I'm not going to Cleveland just to make a point. Jesse might be right.
I'll go to Cleveland. Come on, man. We'll go to Cleveland, man.
Good, have fun.
Yeah.
It's the one trip I don't want to tell you.
Go ahead. You tell us about it.
We're going to Cleveland.
I want you to go to Cleveland in January, though.
No. No. Why?
When is a good time to ever go to Cleveland?
Well, certainly not in January. Certainly not in January.
Roddy, Riverwalk in San Antonio destroys Sacramento. What are you doing with him? Roddy's supposed to be with us.
It's a nice spot. It's a fun little way to spend the day. Y'all crapping on it. You ain't ever even been there.
Spend a whole day at the Riverwalk?
You can. It's not. See, the thing is, you're not just on the Riverwalk. It's a walk that takes you to other places.
What's better, Riverwalk or the National Harbor in D.C.?
Riverwalk.
The National Harbor.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
The National Harbor.
See what I'm saying?
Riverwalk is probably just fancy outlets.
Jesus Christ, man.
Is there a Nike store there?
All right. I got to be honest. I don't even remember what was on the Riverwalk besides I went in April. So we stopped at a bunch of restaurants and ate.
It sounds like a good time. But I could eat at the Delta King. I could eat at Joe's Crab Shack. I could eat at our place. I could eat at Sidelines.
Bro, if you eat at Sidelines, your death is imminent. Where'd you eat yesterday? Oh, Sidelines, man. Damn shame what happened to Kenny. That infection wouldn't grow in you fast enough.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not the only infection that was being handed around that place.
I think I figured something out, too, on Snowfall. We can talk about that during the break, though.
Yeah, does it even matter at this point?
About Air Force Ones, the Riverwalk, and yeah, we're fine.
We're 15 minutes into this on a game day.
I think you guys can tell me this. You won't be spoiling anything. Peaches has HIV, huh? D-Ray.
Bro, hang on. The Miami Heat are planning to suspend Jimmy Butler for 2 games, sources tell ESPN. Butler missed a team flight Wednesday and had plans to join the Heat tonight. Now Miami is keeping him home from its 2-game road trip.
The only reason I would be okay with that is if you're going to trade him. Like, trade him this week. I am.
Well, that's on Jimmy, too. If he missed the team flight, like,
you're right.
What are we doing?
He's wilding out, man. Like, this dude, I wouldn't want that guy, man. I wouldn't want him, man. He's you never know when he's just going to turn. Do wild
man,
stuff.
Man, that's a shoot. He really do just
like when flip. When I saw him last night wearing them Suns colored, I was like, come on, don't do that, man. You still play for the Heat. Like, you're playing in the game, bro. Like, it's so unnecessary. All this stuff. Apparently, they're trying to trade you. They're trying. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. I wouldn't trade.
So Jimmy suspended again.
I wouldn't trade that guy.
I can't believe. Well, man, Matt Ishbia is a unique. Yeah, unique dude.
Great owner, I guess.
Is he?
If Vivek was doing all this, would he be looked at as knowing what he's doing? No.
No, but I think it was Matt Ishbia. Someone please correct me if I'm wrong on this. If Vivek slashed the prices of stuff inside the Golden One call. Center to $5.
That's a good call.
Because Ishbia was the one who did that, right? Did.
Yeah.
Was that permanent or was that like a gimmick?
That's what they do. It's like, you get your hot dog and soda or something like that.
Man.
Please make that call here.
Bruh.
Yeah. They do it in Atlanta, too, for the Falcons.
Yeah, you could still have the high-end restaurants in the Golden One Center, but make the popcorn and sodas and hot dogs.
I will buy 5 popcorn boxes because it'll cost me $10. It'll be worth it. You'll make your money back. I'll just keep buying more of it.
100%. Get rid of the refill, and you'll make your money back. Because they got if you get the large popcorn, it's a free refill.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, get rid of that, because that's $20.
Has anyone ever eaten an entire large popcorn? Well, I guess if you got
that popcorn
got
bomb.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess if you got a crew with you, like, you
eating a whole popcorn yourself? By yourself at a Kings game is diabolical.
No, that's kind of
relax,
wild.
Relax.
Like, even Michael Jackson and Thriller wouldn't finish that.
Yeah,
box
if you get
popcorn.
To the bottom of that popcorn box during like the Kings game, like,
yeah, I don't know if I finished it by myself.
Did you see that gimmick where they
the movies?
You bring your own thing to the movie theater. I think it was last week or weekend, and they fill whatever you brought to the theater. They'd fill it up with popcorn.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, there were people who went in with like Home Depot like buckets.
Man.
And they filled it with popcorn.
Come on.
It was like $5 or whatever.
I think 7-Eleven does that with their Slurpees. I think one day out of the year, I think. Or they did that once.
That's cool.
I don't even know how that would work because the Slurpee will run out super quick. Yeah. Popcorn, you could have hiding in the back. That you could watch that Slurpee machine run out.
Yeah.
Jesse, when was it?
I was about to say something. All right.
Hold on.
When was the last time you had a Slurpee, for real?
Honestly, I used to live next to a 7-Eleven next to Sac State when I was going to school. Like, recently, like a couple of years, I guess. I haven't been to 7-Eleven, but yeah.
Okay.
I used to get Slurpees when we used to live next to the 7-Eleven in like San Jose and stuff. And I was a kid, we get Slurpees and stuff.
7-Eleven was close.
Have you had a Slurpee in the last 5 years?
I'm sure I have. Now, it might have been once, but I'm sure I have. I've had a Slurpee right now. You know, one of the things that I try to do, I don't try to do it, but it happens, is I end up living next to a gas station in a freeway, because I like to walk to the corner store, I guess you could say.
Walking to the, living next to a 7-Eleven.
You own the gas station near you, right?
No.
I thought it said
Kenny's. No, I don't own any gas station, though.
Oh.
Living next to a 7-Eleven in college will take your money.
Well, I wasn't in college, but when I was living in Paramount, we stayed right next to the Shell that was... also a Popeyes, and they had two-piece Tuesdays, The leg and a thigh and the biscuit for like $229. I hit that up often.
We're not throwing a flag on Slurpee, often. By the way, for the chatty house.
Yeah,
we're not
on,
doing
man.
That. Yeah.
Come on, man. Stop. Stop. Play on.
Yes.
Play on.
And Slurpees aren't this old school thing, by the way. Like 7-Eleven has the machine still there.
The movie theaters has the machine still there.
Yeah, like those are still like, it's not like Hollywood Video.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, Slurpee does kind of feel like an old school thing, though. So Bonte's just scared? Is that what we determined?
He might, Bonte, Bonte's just scared. He might be 215. He might think it's that.
Okay.
So if he ain't here at 215, then yeah, he ducking the smoke.
He's scared.
But
I'm
stalling him out just a little bit.
That's fine. He could be a little frightened. That's all right. Like, I get it.
He said
it ain't what it used to be. You know, when you know you might have a ring off in the horizon, it's a little tougher to do these conversations.
You were nice to them today. You should have just told him it was done. It's over, bro. It's over. Because it is. Ain't no championship going on. You might make the playoffs, lose in the first round or something like that. That's the extent of it.
Yeah.
Championship run is over.
Isn't that what I told him?
You were nicer than I would have been.
Oh.
I'd have been like, man, it's done.
Okay.
Quit dreaming.
I kind of felt like I did that. Maybe the tone was different.
Quit dreaming. It's over. All good things come to an end, unless you're the Chiefs, because they just, I don't know if they're ever going to lose again.
Well. There's a lot to talk about as it pertains to the NFL. We may not, I don't know if we'll ever get to the NFL. We just did 15, 30 minutes on the Riverwalk.
Lamar lost. We have no more stake in this game.
The Raiders did hire a general manager who does have ties to Tom Brady.
And
Josh McDaniels got a coaching job.
He did.
I mean, it's not a head coaching job, but yeah. Still.
And the Jags fired Trent Baalke.
In the middle of a coaching search.
Yeah, which that coaching search may result in the King or the 49ers not getting their defensive coordinator.
Do not. Bro, please don't do that. Please don't take that job.
He's
job.
He'd be ridiculous, bro. Someone
call Bob.
This is what I'm talking about.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't like, take
I'm
job.
I'm on the outside looking in, man, because I'm not a Robert Sala.
Is the job Robert better now that Balky's not there?
Funny no, Robert Sala, bro.
That's a terrible job.
I look a little funny at Robert Sala. Everybody like, bring Sala back. Like, if you bring him back, cool. I was there. I was there when Robert Sala was the defensive coordinator. That's all I'm going to say. I was there.
All right, let's get this break out of the way. We'll come back because look who's here.
Hey, oh, get that
look
stupid
at this,
hat
man.
Off.
Look who's here. Look, he must. You probably got the night off because it's national television tonight. Look at him. He's feeling good.
Hey, look at them rich headphones he got on.
Oh,
no,
oh I know. Yeah, he's,
oh,
he's
man,
different.
Them headphones rich, bro. He's different. Oh, my gosh.
He's different. We'll come back. Bonte Hill is here with us. We ready to talk. And I'm the poorest guy in the room now.
No.
It's Dylan and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, let's get in here, man. Let's get started because this man's time is money.
Mm-hmm.
Bonte Hill, the morning roast, the pre and post and half for NBC Sports Bay Area and the Golden State Warriors. It's been a while, Bonte. We happy you pulling up when things are on fire down there in San Francisco. Hold on, let me check. What's y'all, 13 and 2? What's y'all record with 13? Oh, my bad.
12 and 3.
My bad. I keep getting it wrong. 12 and 3.
The fives are high. And,
yep.
You know, there was people on the street bragging about, you know, man, you know, we don't really miss Klay Thompson, man. We got Buddy Hill and Melton and this and that. I said, we're going to do my boy Klay Thompson like that, man. And yeah, the vibes are completely different this time around. It was so bad after y'all beat us by 30. I think I may have took the day off that Monday, man, after the kid. I said, yeah, I'm not going to do this, man.
Oh, yeah. We had video of Butcher Boy
that was bad.
Move on, TC. I want to hear from
TC. TC called in. He said, we're not talking about the Kings today.
Hey, TC, man, that the streets told me, they said, man, TC calling the chatty house, man. He calling D-Law and KC on the puncher, man. I said, I'm going to duck these strays on the Monday morning, man. The Niners got blew up. The Kings got beat by 30. I said, yeah, I'm going to sit this one out, champ.
Hey, man, speaking from experience, firing your head coach does wonders for vibes.
Jerry Stackhouse, next head coach of the Warriors.
It is an amazing reset button on the vibes, boy. I tell you. Goodness gracious.
D-Lo, I saw the way D-Lo was acting, man. I tapped in immediately to you guys, and D-Lo was solo bolo. He's dropping every four-letter word in the book, and I'm thinking, man, what's going on? They live? What's happening? Hey, we had Fox out of town. It was wild. I see Penny came on like three different times. He talking about, I got a kid, I got the day off. He's on three different times. Y'all was so mad. Kyle Madsen had to come on the show. He's in the car. I'm like, man, this is epic. I sat here for like 2 hours at the same kitchen table, man, watching that one. But you know what? Doug Christie got them boys playing.
Yep.
9-2. I seen an offensive number. Sabonis, he looks like a complete, he doesn't look as stiff. He's hitting outside shot. I think he's averaging like 20-16-4 since Christie's been balling. He's shooting the 60s from the field and three. There's no denying that. He's got them boys playing up and down. Keon Ellis is pressing full court. Keegan Murray's back, which I love to see that because I think he's a hell of a young player. So Keys right now, they rolling right now, man. You guys are serious.
You know, B, we get our jokes off with the Warriors and everything, but we are kind of baffled by how they can start the season the way they did and now look like they have for the last 20 games or so. Like, are we still unsure of who the real Warriors are? Because obviously you had the great start, and then, like, they've been really, really bad as of late, but that maybe that's not who they really are. Are they still trying to figure out who they really are at this point?
Yeah, you try to figure out who you are, but when you look at the birth certificates of Draymond and Steph and – you bring in Dennis Schroeder, who's at 32, and GP2's up there, and he's, you know, ever since they traded for him to come back to the Golden State Warriors, he's been hurt more than he's been on the court. This is who they are, an inconsistent bunch that can't stay healthy. You know, Steve Kerr's had 24 different starting lineups. This is like the second most of the league.
That's cool.
You know, so you can't find traction and consistency. But also, I remember during that 12-3 start, it was all good, right? But I was trying to caution the fan base. Me, out of all people, saying, hey, look, I know they're 12-3, but think about the teams they beat who was not at full strength. Boston wasn't at full strength. They beat New Orleans twice, and they I don't know who that team was. Brandon Ingram was out. Zion was out. I don't think Zion was in the Bay Area at that point. So I try to caution people, like, hey, look, man, like, Buddy's never done this before. Like, D'Anthony Melton's had injury issues, and, you know, people weren't listening and saying, hey, man, no, we're better. Man, we got the bad attitude out the locker room with Klay Thompson and this and that. And you know what? They got to the month of December, which I thought was a good barometer for this team, because you look at that schedule in December, they were playing all the big boys, and the schedule was stacked. And it went downhill in a heartbeat because, one, they don't have anybody outside of Steph who could blow by their man and get up, beat somebody off the dribble. The lack of shooting is alarming. With a team that has Steph Curry on it, they're last in free throw shooting as a team. And amazing. Now you got all these misfits. Now you got all these specialists who they're really good at one thing, but they're not good at the other. They need two-way players. They need 3-D guys. They need guys who are quick and athletic. And that's the problem when you have a team that is older where you get slow. You're small, and every time they play, I look up, even last week against the Toronto Raptors, said, man, their roster looks a little more athletic than ours. Mm-hmm. Wow, they look a little more pleasing than ours. Even the Wizards with Alex Saar, Jordan Poole, you're thinking, they're playing with the Wizards. The Wizards are up 7 at the half. It should be up 15. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're seeing now are the real Warriors, and they have to figure this out, whether it's at the deadline or in the offseason. And they got to figure out what direction they want to go in. They really do. Do they want to commit to Kuminga? Do they want to commit to Wiggins? What do they want to do about Draymond Green, who right now looks like his body's breaking down at a rapid rate, man? He came back in for 3 minutes against the Wizards after missing three games and was done. It's like, what? And meanwhile, Jordan Poole scoring 38, and we're thinking, and every Warrior fan after the game said, we had that guy. Yeah, I know. We had that guy. But it is what it is at this point now, so – I think what we're seeing right now is kind of the real Warriors, an inconsistent bunch that's on the older side, on the smaller side. That's one of the least athletic teams in the NBA.
You talk about picking a direction, Bonte. Is it too late? Like, for this Steph Curry, I guess Draymond Green, Steve Kerr group, is it too late?
It certainly feels like it, right? You can't make the moves that they've made over the last 3 years. And look, man, I hate saying it. I hate breaking it up. But – you know, I had the opportunity, I was blessed to have the opportunity to walk in that gym Saturday night and run into Poole's family. And then Jordan Poole came out and I ran into him. And I walked out of that conversation thinking, like, damn, that fateful day, 4 months after winning the NBA championship in Boston, that fateful day in October of practice was the beginning of the end of this current iteration of the Warriors. Now, maybe they can revamp it and add some talent around Stephen Curry and we'll see what happens with that. But think about all the things that have happened since that. And everything is centered around number 23, Draymond Green. You know, you think about last week where it sounded like Steph Curry and Steve Kerr were waving a white flag. Well, they were responding to an article that involved Draymond Green and Vincent Goodwill. You know, you think about the bad attitude that got labeled on the Klay Thompson last year. What? The guy was averaging 18, shooting 38% from three. You guys asked him to come off the bench. He comes off the bench and averages another 18 and shoots 43%. So I think from that moment, the way they handled it, and where, you know, it felt like they were more concerned about the leak of the tape than actually Jordan Poole himself. And I know that's probably not the case, but it looked like that from the outside looking in. They have not recovered from that moment. They lost in the second round that year. They lost in the play-in last year, obviously, to you guys. And right now, they didn't even look like a play-in team. So it may be too late to recover from that. You know, you wonder about the culture. It was fractured from that point. Now you had a locker room divided. Some people roll over Poole, some people roll over Draymond. But they haven't recovered from my moment, and it's hard for me to get over that as a Warrior fan, knowing that that happened, and they just quite haven't been the same. They haven't clicked. Something stunk with this organization from that point on. So the next move they make in terms of trying to pivot and figure out whether they want to keep Steph around, which I think they do, but how do you reinvent yourself is going to be the tough thing for Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob. And it may have to start with trading number 23 at some point, whether it's before the deadline or in the summer. But then you think about basketball. I know I'm long-winded, but think about basketball. You cannot have players on – you look at every roster in the NBA, every good roster. Even you guys. You guys got five offensive threats at all times. Somebody could either shoot, drive to the rim, or finish. Even some bonuses shooting a jumper this year, right? He's making it at a high clip. The Warriors too many times have lineups where you got two non-scorers on the floor, which I thought we saw it in the Sacramento series a couple years ago in the first round where it's like, boy, you got to move to the one big lineup with either Looney and these scorers here or you're going to get beat by the Sacramento Kings. And they haven't adjusted their style of play. The league is caught up. And from a stylistic standpoint, they've got to figure out that first and foremost in order to get better in the future.
You know, Bonte, we talk about the intangibles and the culture, and you're 100% right. But just the basketball aspect of it, Jordan Poole was the guy. That was the guy. I'm not saying he was going to be Steph Curry, but that was supposed to be the seamless, you know, transition to the Poole era. I mean, think about, you know, people look at
the how second timeline.
Yeah, yeah, he was going to be the leader of the second timeline. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Think about how he played in that season they won the championship. He was fantastic. He was doing crazy things with the range, off the dribble, his handle, all this other stuff. And that, more than anything, not being able to keep him around, might have been the way this thing, you know, ended. But I want to ask you one other thing real quick.
Uh-huh.
Stephen Curry, you don't move on from him unless he says, move me, correct?
Absolutely. 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 I mean, your business model, you get half the gyms. Ticket prices go down the drain. Sellout crowds go down the drain. National TV games, you're not getting those anymore, right? There's no TNT specials. There's no MLK Day matinees. There's no Christmas Day games if you go ahead and do that. Real quick on the pool thing, because, yeah, I'm not trading Stephen Curry unless he walks in that building and says, get me out of here. And then, you know what, Steph, you deserve it. You've done everything for the franchise and much, much more. That's the only way you trade him. You don't willingly take phone calls saying, yeah, 30's on the block here. Joe Lacob's not a dummy. Mike Dunleavy's not a dummy. They think about those dollars and cents, and your dollars and cents you get. I mean, you become the afterthought in the Bay Area after that. All of a sudden, people are talking Sharks and Giants baseball, and you got the Niners on the street. But the pool thing you mentioned, because he knew it. When I was talking to him and his family, he knew it. He goes, man, we had a good thing here. And I thought about the pop he got in the arena. You know, there's always those players like Malik Monk at the G1C. It feels like when he does something, when I'm watching Kings games and he does something, it's like, damn, there's a different pop when he falls out, right? It was Steph and Jordan Poole where we were talking about having pool parties. Hell, I was wearing floaties on sets at NBC with sunscreen. We were having – like, seriously, he was the most lovable guy as a youngster. And there was no jealousy between Steph and Klay because Klay Thompson's older brother was working out Jordan Poole before every single game. You think if they were beefing, Jordan Poole would have Michael Thompson, Klay's older brother, working him out, getting ready for games? Hell no. So he was next. And the two timeline thing could work because it's worked for the Spurs when they had Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, and they went to back-to-back finals. And actually, you know, you got a young Kawhi, you got Danny Green hitting threes, you got Patty Mills there, you got Tiago Splitter playing his role. So it could have worked. And it just felt like maybe if there was jealousy or Phil Silver Buddy or anything. And then today, we see a Draymond Green clip of the podcast, still talking about the apology. And it's like, when you call somebody this and you do this, and it's like, man, Draymond, you called all kind of people saying certain things, man. Like, that's not acceptable, man. And we're still talking about it today. And you know it, Casey, that was the bridge to the future because he could blow by guys and get off his shot at any point. Now he's having career highs. Warrior fans are sick right now watching Jordan Poole. So, no, they won't trade Steph Curry, but that bridge to the future is definitely – we're holding on to Jonathan Kuminga. We have no idea what his status is with the Warriors moving forward.
Draymond Green is one of the least self-aware public figures, I think, in recent sports history.
Wow.
He is just so unaware of him, his place in the league, and his place on this Golden State Warriors team in the pantheon of way. People outside of Joe Lacob and that group in there, like, think about him. It is so bizarre. It is such a but he gets gassed up by a lot of people. He gets gassed up by a lot of people I love. And it's, I've always said this. People who eat, sleep, breathe basketball have said Draymond does things on the floor that no one else does. I feel like those things ended about 4 years ago. And that's the tough part when you get older and things change. How do you move forward? Like with Steph, to me, Steph is Kobe. You, Steph, in terms of Steph and the Golden State Warriors, you go down with the ship, you win 8 games or 10 games or whatever it is, you take that retirement tour, and God willing, you score 60 in your finale. Like, that's the barometer for Steph Curry. That's the barometer for very few players on the planet, but Steph is one of them.
No, you're spot on, D-Lo. You're spot on. You're right until the wheels fall off, man. We may never see another player like this in franchise history.
League history,
NBA,
this organization,
history.
The league history, league history, this community, you write it down. But the point on Draymond Green, because you're right. All right, all the other stuff was acceptable. We barely, okay, we're right with it, all that stuff. But once that punch happened, And then you see them go 11-30 on the road. And then they lose to the Lakers in the way they did. I'm just talking basketball. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis wasn't guarding him. He was parked under the rim. All right? So they're not even honoring him. And it's like, wait, you're wide open. You have to take that shot. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Clay's turned into a playmaker. We all know Clay's not a playmaker. One dribble, pull up, catch and shoot. That's Clay's game. He's asking him to, hey, dribble, dribble, dribble. Shot clock's running down. Go make us a play. That's not his game. And then Steph's getting doubled off every screen. And so from a basketball standpoint, I thought the Warriors had the perfect opportunity to say, you know what? Let's reevaluate where we are and let's re-tinker this thing and move forward. That's what the great teams do. But they stuck with Draymond after that season, gave him $100 million. Mm. And then what happens last season? He said, look, I'm this is the most important season of my career. Told me that. He told me that. I bought it. It's like, all right, cool. About to be a good run here. And he misses 17 games, mm-hmm. right? The Gobert incident. The Nurkic incident.
Wow.
And the Warriors win 46 games and he misses 17 of them. I'm thinking to myself, damn. You play those games. Say if you play 10 of them, I think they win 50 and you get into the top six. So all the other stuff that is adding up to this team where you're hurting the team and then the constant podcasting. Well, I don't care if a player podcasts. I'm never going to tell a player to shut up and dribble. But then we get to Jordan Poole and the tweet Mark Spears. That's the last thing Warrior fans want to see right now. Mm-hmm. And some Warrior fans are in denial. But some are like, you know what? It's time to pull the plug. I know my guy Shasky. He's like getting damn near personal with him. I'm like, yo, we got to call on Draymond talk today, man, because it's getting a little wild out here, right? It is because
Butcher Boy got emotional, man. I don't believe it, Bronte.
Yeah, shocker, right? Yeah, no, D-Lo, you're spot on, man. And I think some of the basketball people were saying like, well, he's not the greatest defense. I said, Hobby Hawk had him twice early in that Miami game, a day after they played double overtime, mm. and the Warriors at Chase Center. I'm thinking, well, he's not the defender. He's not the defender he once was. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he's shooting 30% from three systems first. And now he's going back to where passing up open shots again, which is hurting the offense. I throw my hands up because I don't know what they're going to do with number 23. But everybody around the organization, I think they know it and they want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they let the wrong legend. Klay Thompson's mm-hmm. in the Dallas Mavericks uniform. Mm-hmm. Klay Thompson. And it made me sick. It made me sick to my stomach all the last 2 years where he led the league in eight threes and did what he did last year. And people try to label him a bad guy. He's got a bad end. No, let me tell you, Klay Thompson, he's about ball. He ain't about the other stuff. He's about ball. I want to play ball. I want to shot. Yeah, sure, he's going to take some bad shots and he's not the defender he once was, but he's not with the other stuff. See him get labeled like that and all those stink pieces come out shortly after he signed with Dallas? You could say that as basketball. You know what I'm saying? You can't treat a guy like that on the way out, make him look like the bad guy, as well as Jordan Poole, where people would defend Draymond, punching Jordan Poole by saying what he said, and blah, 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 blah. What? What are we doing here? What are we doing? So it's as troubling as the time and go to the State Warrior basketball land since Mark Jackson's been fired. And we're in the thick of it, and we got this match right now going up to the Golden 1 Center, and it's not looking pretty, folks. With J.K. not playing until February, Draymond's out until February. Where's the scoring from? Where's it going to come from? Who's going to stop the bleeding? And I don't know if they got the horses right now to do it.
Bronte Hill, host, co-host of The Morning Roast, also on NBC Sports Bay Area, pre and post for all your Warrior stuff. And I hate to keep...
You're doing radio stuff.
Well, you know, I'm doing what I can. You know what I mean? They might have a new audience popping in, want to know who he is. You know what I mean?
Who is this guy?
I don't know. Man's doing social media reels now. He's on TikTok all of a sudden.
My first TikTok.
D-Lo, let me shut you down real quick, D-Lo, because I see the way you move. I see the way you've been moving.
Oh, I'm trying.
That Google, that's been getting some runway, man. You've been weird. I said, damn, dude, look at D-Lo at Disneyland.
Come on, man.
He's
you see him?
Out, man. I didn't you know see D-Lo him? Had an eight-pack.
You see him? Come on, I'm just trying to keep up, man. That's all I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
I have no problem acknowledging I'm a thirst trap. I just I'll post the thirst if it gets the likes or the comments. I'm gonna post it. What you want me to do? I'm out here hoeing on social media. I don't know what to tell you, man.
For the betterment of the show.
That's it. Tune in. Only thing that got more run was me cussing out De'Aaron Fox. Like, oh, great.
That was unbelievable. I know you see Fox because y'all brothers go to the games, man, and I know y'all don't like to smoke. Maybe it's an off-air conversation, but I know Fox and people heard that because that's one thing.
Bruh.
Players hear everything.
Bruh.
They see everything.
My favorite chef walked over to me and was like, hey, you let De'Aaron have it. I was like, well, yeah. He was like, yeah. I sent him the clip. I was like, all right, man.
It's a classic.
All right, man. Shout out Chef Q.
Shout out Che. Yeah, we got to get Monte over at Q.
Oh, yeah. When you coming out, we're going to take him to Q1227.
We got to get him over there. We talking about steaks and all this other stuff. Yeah, we got to get him over there.
I got to make sure I clean the Dior's for you guys, man. Y'all next level.
I don't have to clean the Dior's because I don't have any, so it's good. Like, you guys can just be the Dior brothers. Splash Brothers, Dior Brothers. Here we are right here. I'm just here. I'm with some Chuck Taylors right now.
Hey, it's all funny case, man. But I know deep down inside, y'all like, man, the Warriors are down bad, man. I know y'all, because I tapped in from the bed on that Monday listening to y'all, and y'all was calling people out. Y'all heard me. I was like, Bonte, he ain't been there. Who's that? And TC's calling both shows, and the chat is off, and I'm getting all the texts and DMs. Yo, where you at, man? You can, you know, because Sacramento fans, they something else. They different, man.
Bonte, it is up out here. Like, I don't know. Warrior fans, they may not trip off the Kings like that. Like, it may not. They got other things they talking about. Out here, it is up. It's going down, like, forever. Warriors-Lakers, it's going down forever. Like, this game tonight, it's going to be rocking at the G1C because the Warriors are in town. They want all that smoke. So, it's always going down. But I want to ask you this about Steph Curry, though, because you know people. You talk to people. You know what's going on. We already clarified if you're the Warriors, you're just not moving on unless he says something.
Yeah.
Do you think Steph Curry would ever say move me?
Yes, I would. We've seen this in the league before. I mean, even Kobe Bryant, even though he finished his career with the Lakers, how many times did Kobe threaten to go to the Clippers or the Bulls or trade me here or what? Like, it's a fickle situation. And Steph, I think, going to those Olympic Games, playing with all those great players, and he's like, boy, I stole the show. I'm still playing at a high level. And if I go on a team that has some help, I'm not going to see 6-7 defenders every single night and get doubled every single night. And I'm passing the guys who, you know, are trying to find their way to the NBA. I think he wants to see how it plays out this summer. How does it play out? The offseason, the way the season finishes, how good does it look? Because here's the problem, and I warn Warrior fans about this. What you don't want to happen is the Warriors struggling before the All-Star break, because the All-Star break is right here in San Francisco. And guess what the national media is going to do and the international media? They're going to pepper him over and over and over and over and over, and people are going to get into his head. So I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past any superstar, including Steph Curry, who wants to be here in the Bay. He genuinely wants to retire a member and to go to State Warriors. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And do you want to have those Kobe years where you don't go to the playoffs for the final 5-6 years of your career? I don't think he does. I think he wants to play for high stakes. When you play for high stakes for that long, going back to the projects ain't easy, brother. Going back to them top almond packs of the season, it ain't easy, man. You know, we're not going to go back to
them syrup sandwiches. The Warriors are syrup sandwiches. Yeah.
We're trying to go back to Ruth Chris, man. We're trying to stay there. You know, we're not
the Golden State Warriors, syrup sandwiches.
So that dental office could get a bit lonely, man. So Steph, it depends how the season ends, seriously, and what the prospects look like. What's the plan here, and what stars could become available? Because it could. I never put it past an athlete to say, "Hey, you know what? Knock on that door, and say, hey, Joe, man, it's been a good run, man, but do me a solid, man, and you know, I want to play for something."
Damn, I can't imagine it. You would know better than I would, but I can't imagine Steph doing it, man.
I don't. I think we're a long way away from that, but I do. I've heard some things from Steph. He's been a little more outspoken than usual. And I know he trusts the process, but that look he had on his face when they got beat by the Miami Heat in double overtime, that look where I thought he was walking straight to the locker room. And he looked up at the crowd, and I hadn't seen that look from Stephen Curry. And I don't think I've seen that look from him since pre-Mark Jackson. It's been a while. Yeah. And he kind of knew, like, yo, this is – yeah, we got to do something about this.
Yeah, that man has had moments where he's looked defeated. Like, he is absolutely. We laughed at most of them.
We imitated him as well.
I know. Teddy, I know.
Let us have this, man. Hey,
and we're scared to death tonight.
Exactly. To be perfectly clear, we're living in fear going into tonight's game.
We're scared to death tonight. Yeah. We're scared to death.
I don't know why, man. Y'all rolling right now.
Because 30's still there. That's why.
As long as Steph is in the jersey.
I think the Warriors are playing hard tonight, man. But, boy, you see the injury report, man. And that's the thing. Kuminga, who a lot of the fan base hasn't embraced Kuminga the way I have. From day one, I'm like, yo, this guy can go. give him consistent minutes. When you look at him, when he gets 30 minutes over the course of his career, which has only happened a handful of times, like 45 times or something like that, he produces and he gets better by the game. He gets better within the game, and to lose him at this juncture, it's tough, man. It's they don't have anybody to fill that spot right now. So we'll see what happens tonight.
Bonte, we appreciate you, man. You got a long night of work ahead. Thanks for carving out a few minutes. Great to catch up with you, and we'll be praying for the demise of your basketball team.
Syrup sandwiches.
I'm just let them know. Hey, syrup sandwiches, but I'm going to let the Chetty House know. Y'all tag me in anything today or tonight. I'm blocking all y'all asses. And I'm cursing you all out on the phone lines tomorrow. TC in Sacramento, RJ in Fairfield. Y'all better leave me the hell alone. Because, you know, I get cranky after those long nights, man. I come in the morning a little cranky, man.
Hey, Bonte don't be wanting to hear it, man. He'll be wanting to hear it. He'll be like, man, I ain't hearing this right now.
I will go at you, Busters. Y'all come at me. Put them T-shirts in the drawer. All right?
Look at Bonte. Is preemptively angry. Game's 5 hours away. Bonte preemptively angry. That's all right, brother. Hey, we've lived this life. It's all right. That's all right. Just know we appreciate
boy,
you.
Hey, man, come on down here, man. We got to get you the sack, big dog.
I'll see y'all soon, man.
Appreciate right, you. As Bonte Hill right there going to handle his business.
The legend, the king of the Bay
Area. Sports California. We'll come back. We'll go from the Warriors' perspective to the Kings' perspective. Our man James Hamm joins us when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, for those on the radio and on the Odyssey app, shout out to everybody listening on the Odyssey app, by the way. You could just throw us in your pocket, throw us on your Bluetooth, listen to us anywhere. I think you can even ask, like, Alexa or Siri to play ESPN 1320 on the Odyssey app. Casey took off. He's going to go watch Reese play some basketball. James Hamm's going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll get back to Kings basketball. Of course, the Kings and the Warriors tonight at the Golden 1 Center. Big thanks to Bonte Hill. Obviously, super busy on game days. Does the morning roast out there on 95.7 in Cisco. And then his responsibilities to NBC Sports Bay Area tonight for the game, which I didn't think he would have, given it's on ESPN. But indeed, our brother does. So big thanks again to Bonte Hill for joining us here today. Lots going on around the NFL. Some bizarre moves that people got their eyes on. Let's start with the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders have, in fact, hired their general manager, John Spytek. He was the assistant general manager in Tampa Bay. Obviously, very direct link to Tom Brady. And so the Raiders got their guy. He is 44 years old and the fifth general manager since 2020.
This is the one, though.
Goodness gracious.
I'm not like this GM guy or whatever, but from what I've seen, it seems like it's a good hire.
No, it okay.
They took a step in the right direction.
Let my man do his job then, and I guess we're good. I mean, maybe the fact that he has a relationship with Tom Brady, that bodes well for everybody. Maybe this was the part where Tom Brady was going to be most instrumental, was the general manager search. Maybe he's going to be instrumental in the coaching search as well. Like, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure where the coaching search is at. A couple of guys that I liked, obviously, are off the books. Of course, Ben Johnson, he took his place as the Chicago Bears head coach a couple of days ago. And now the defensive coordinator from the Detroit Lions, who was another guy that I liked for the Las Vegas Raiders, Aaron Glenn, has taken his spot as the head coach for the New York Jets. So you have those coaching vacancies filled. Now you have a new general manager spot open, as Trent Baalke is out as the Jaguars GM, which is fascinating because the Jaguars are in the middle of a coaching search.
Yeah, I don't get why they just did it right now and not literally like a few weeks ago. Like, this was an issue your last head coaching search as well, that Trent Baalke was there.
Something clearly went awry during the process of looking for a coach. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, because I saw to a report earlier that they were deciding, oh, we're going to keep Baalke. And originally they were. It's like, oh, yeah, Balky's going to report to someone else. Like, you won't have to report to Baalke. If you're the head coach, you report to the owner and all that. Like, it's just a mess.
It's so bizarre. Shad Khan said today, following several discussions with Trent Baalke this week, we both arrived at the conclusion that is in our mutual best interest to respectfully separate, effective immediately. Trent leaves with blah, 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 deeply committed to building a winner in Jacksonville. Okay, Shad. Thank you.
Like father, like son.
Goodness gracious. Oh, goodness gracious. That's tough. That's tough for those that get it. So the Jaguars are now looking for a general manager to go along with their head coach, and it'll be fascinating to see if they hire their head coach before hiring their general manager, because Robert Saleh's name is getting tied to Jacksonville quite a bit. That's a tough look. That is a tough look for everybody involved. I don't know if Robert Saleh is a good coach or not. There's a lot of evidence pointing to he's not, but I think 49er fans have been particularly tough on him recently. I don't know if I can't really gauge if 49er fans want him back or not, but he seems to be, if not the number one candidate, certainly one of the top candidates to land that Jacksonville job. Josh McDaniels is back in the league. He is joining Mike Vrabel's staff. I guess Josh and the Patriots are inseparable.
Kind of weird.
It's
like their security blanket. When in doubt, hey, you get fired twice over there, fired a couple times over there, just come back.
I guess he's...
Like Matt Patricia came back, too, at one point, after the Lions, I think.
Didn't Matt Patricia come back as the offensive coordinator?
I'm pretty sure you're right.
Maybe the Patriot way isn't the smartest thing in the world. But they've got their head coach. And maybe Josh McDaniels, good coordinator. He's clearly not a head coach. Josh McDaniels is never getting a head coaching job again.
Josh McDaniels comes off as someone who could probably run an offense, but not lead a group of people.
There you go. Call plays. Don't talk to my players.
Yeah, just let us know what the game plan is. Other than that, just keep it moving.
Yeah. And so, that's kind of where we are. I guess he's the defensive coordinator for Notre Dame. He's going to Cincinnati. And what was so bizarre about that is, I guess it wasn't bizarre. I guess it's just the game. That was announced like the second the game went final. Like Notre Dame hadn't even shed a tear yet. Like the confetti had just started to fall. And I think it was Rappaport who was like, yeah, Notre Dame's defensive, he's heading to Cincinnati.
I wonder what that feeling is like. You lose the national title. Oh, finally, I get to go to my cool job now.
Right. Right. I'm moving up.
Ben Johnson got hired too. And then like an hour later, it was like, oh yeah, Dennis Allen's going to be his defensive coordinator, I think.
Yeah. So there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of things happening in the NFL. There were some reports out there that the 49ers are interested or perhaps have talked to Pete Carroll. I saw that pop up for the first time during the show, so I haven't really followed up on that.
That feels a lot. Like, remember last year, I think it was, they're looking for a new DC, and they're like, oh, yeah, we hit up Bill Belichick or whatever to see what he was doing. That feels like what this is with
kind of
Pete Carroll.
Kind of one of those things where you just call,
throw it out there,
and say no.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm fine with that. Like Kyle seems to be perfectly okay, or Josh, or whoever. Not Josh, John, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan. They seem to be perfectly comfortable with being told no. Hey, Bill, you want to run the defense? No. All right, cool. Hey, Pete, you want to run the defense? And who knows? I don't know. Not to. I wonder if I feel like Pete Carroll might be a little too old for the NFL.
No. He's got the heart of a 50-year-old.
I don't disagree with that at all. I just wonder if, the game is skewed. Like, the Raiders general manager is 44 years old.
Then get yourself like a 35-year-old offensive coordinator and you're good.
I just feel like the game, well, maybe so.
Honestly, a lot of it feels
like the game is skewing a little younger, like the
I don't know if Pete's
your boy was hired for a second.
Who?
Vic Fangio.
Oh yeah,
he was hired for like a, and then this might not be the move, and they moved on from that pretty quickly.
Well, Vic is one of the Josh McDaniels types, it's like you're probably better off just calling the defense or whatever your specialty is.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
But I think Pete would be fine. You gotta hire the right offensive coordinator
as a head coach. You still like, yeah, Pete as a head coach?
Yeah, if he was the Raiders one, I think that'd be a home run.
I hadn't actually thought of that.
Pete Carroll's name got thrown around like last week, I think, for the Raiders, or maybe the week before, and then it was like, before. Oh, it's probably going to be Ben Johnson, and now it's kind of no one right now.
Yeah, I think they had a lot of eggs in the Ben Johnson basket. I think they were really counting on the Tom Brady aura to help pull that. Like, I genuinely wonder what the Raiders' depth chart is, and perhaps more importantly, what is their new general manager's depth chart?
I wonder how much of that was, like, I don't know if it makes sense, but the Raiders kind of smokescreen, or like Ben Johnson, his agent. Because Adam Schefter, too, was like, you don't count out the Bears while that was going on. Like, the Bears aren't out of this.
Yeah, I don't think it was Ben or his agent. I think it was, like, the Raiders and Brady's people flexing Brady's influence.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know. I got to stop trying to understand how this goes, because I definitely do not.
Well, be careful.
But things are falling into place. Yeah, things are starting to fall into place. And the Raiders, or the 49ers, though, lost in all of this, is the 49ers still don't have a defensive coordinator.
Kyle Madsen doesn't seem too happy about it.
That they don't have a defensive coordinator?
Because I think he's saying that they've kind of put in their eggs in all the Robert Saleh basket, but you might end up with Brandon Staley, because Saleh might be the coach of the Jags.
Robert Saleh ending up as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars would be so awful for everybody involved. It would be particularly bad for Robert Saleh. It'd be so bad.
I don't hate it.
I don't know what the 49ers... Why don't you...
Lawrence is there. Like, you have somewhat of a... You have an average at least quarterback. At the very least, he's an average quarterback. You can always work off of that. You just need competence. You just need Aaron Rodgers or whoever not working against you. Like, they got the GM out. They took a step forward today firing Trent Baalke. Like, that's a step forward. It's a little late, but you took the step you needed to.
I wonder if Aaron Glenn took that job going, hey... Oh boy, ain't around, right? Like, y'all getting him out of here, right? Because I can't imagine. Oh, I can't imagine Aaron Glenn goes into that going, oh yeah, no, Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback next year. Nah, man, keep it moving. Jets love hiring their defensive guys, though.
Yeah,
I thought that was Rex Ryan's job.
That's how he talked. Oh, he's so insufferable. He loves to hear himself talk. Like, he loves it.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Rex Ryan is the Draymond Green of NFL analysts.
Draymond Green, honestly, might be a little bit better. Yeah. I was listening to Rex this week, and he was bad.
He's just terrible. Absolutely terrible. Speaking of head coaches, before we get back to the Kings and the Warriors tonight, Kenny would love this. Did you see your boy Dan Hurley?
Yeah, relax, bro.
Dan Hurley got caught on camera. First of all, if you have the opportunity when today's show ends, pull it up on Twitter, and not just the clip of his behavior on the basketball court, because this is what back-to-back championships get you. It gets you the ability to act like an ass. Catch the interview. Catch the press conference afterwards. Because during the game, Dan Hurley is doing what he does. He's running up and down. He's screaming and he's yelling. He's like an absolute maniac. UConn doesn't get a call that he wants. And he starts yelling at the official, and the official walks away from him because he's probably getting tired of getting yelled at by Dan Hurley. And Dan Hurley says on camera, very clearly, "Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best effing coach in the sport." Now, that's great. There's your role model, right? The press conference comes along, and there's Dan Hurley just sitting here like melancholy, like, yeah, you know, I get it. But it's just those people on Twitter. And he's just sitting there like, it's just people on Twitter. Just camera following me around all over the place. Guess I'm good for ratings.
Is that really what he said?
Bro.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As you would say, bar for bar. Skip Manny in here real quick before James joins us. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, Manny?
You know what's funny about that, what you're just talking about, is if it was an NBA coach or, like, pros, like, he's still a you know, a-hole, but you laugh it off a little bit more. Like, you're a leader of these kids. Young men that you're helping them become adults. And not only do you do asinine things like that, but then when you kind of double down in the press conference and you don't take accountability, so you're really a really horrible role model for these kids, especially, like you said, when he's talking about, you know, being on social media, like, that part of your job, especially in this day and age, is to teach these kids how to use social media correctly and not get caught in, like, some really bad circumstances, and you basically just doubled down and blamed everybody but yourself. So that's crazy. But so tonight we're gonna be watching this Golden State game and doing some commentary. We're gonna talk a little bit about the NFL Conference Championship, and we're gonna dive into the Unrivaled League a little bit and talk about that first weekend. So
okay,
8 p.m. ESPN 1320. You know what it is. And now we are also available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Hey, there you go. Good stuff, Manny. I'm proud of you, bro. I'm proud of all of you guys over there at the Chatty House After Party for keeping this thing going. I've worked with, you know, young people who've wanted to host podcasts and do things like this for a long time. I've worked with older people who wanted to do podcasts for a long time. And the number one thing that I tell them is the number one thing that I told Manny. Everybody wants to host a podcast until they have one. And Manny, y'all have stuck with this. Y'all have been at this for weeks now. Katrina says it's the 20th episode tonight. It means y'all been at this for 20 weeks, man. Congratulations to y'all. Keep it going. Keep it building. And yeah, keep doing what y'all doing, man. I love that it's on Apple and Spotify. And for people who don't really do the YouTube thing and maybe just want to listen to it during their walks, it's available for them. The Chatty House After Party. That's really good stuff, man. Very proud of the crew over there. James Hamm going to join us shortly. I'm sure he's looking for a quiet spot over at the Golden One Center to join us as we gear up for the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors tonight. ESPN, second game on national television here in short order for the Beam team. The TNT crew certainly wasn't mean to Doug Christie, though they weren't particularly kind to Sacramento, as Stan Van Gundy liked to get his jokes off about every job in Sacramento being a interim job. But Doug Christie now 9-2, and that's going to be one of the stories going into tonight's game. It's unfortunately not just the 9-2 of Sacramento. It is the disaster that we discussed pretty in-depthly with Bonte Hill just a little bit ago that has become the Golden State Warriors. And the Golden State Warriors, amazingly, despite all of this, are still a draw. And they're a draw because of Steph Curry. Steph Curry's still box office. He still must see TV, and you still tune in to see if he's going to be able to drag the carcass of this Golden State Warriors roster to any sort of victory. Two things that worried me going into the night game. Well, three. One being Steph. The other two being, man, they got their ass kicked by the Boston Celtics on MLK Day. Like, they got whooped. They lost by 40 points. I think a team coming off a blowout like that is dangerous. I don't know if dangerous is the right word, but maybe they're focused. And then you factor in the fact that the last time the Warriors played the Sacramento Kings, Kings beat their ass by 30. I think there's a heightened focus there as well when you bring into those games.